talking about the persecuted Christians in North Korea. Izzy's just going to follow this up after this quick scripture. So, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 to 20. That's from me, and then he's going to just follow up after me. Just as a body, through one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we all are baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given one Spirit to drink, and so the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now if the foot should say, "But I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not stop being part of the body. And if the foot, if the ear was to say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body.
The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you," and the head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honourable we treat with special honour, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it.
Amen. Amazing. Thank you so much. Yeah. Really good. Really good scripture. I'm just going to introduce you to Izzy. You've seen her already, but this is Izzy. How old are you, Izzy?
15.
Oh, you're 15. Yeah, that's amazing. And Izzy's really at the moment, really, like, her heart is being gripped by God and kind of shaken about the persecuted church. I mean, you read this book, The Heavenly Man. If anyone's read it, it's a good book recommendation. It's about this man who's heavily persecuted to extreme lengths. And you read it in how many hours?
Seven.
She literally got the book and just read it, had a sleep, finished the book. It's like this thick. And not only that, you've been reading lots of other books about the persecuted church. And so I think you're such a great person to deliver this message this morning to us. And I hope that we can also be really impacted by Christians around the world.
Okay, so you know my name, you know my age. So, yeah. I started feeling very passionate about 6 months ago. But before that, I must have been about 8 or 9. We were visiting a church in, I think it might have been Sheffield, and we were visiting family friends. And in the sort of like Sunday school thing, we were talking about what we were thankful for. And most people said that they were thankful for like their friends and family, the fact that they have a house, the fact that just little things like that. And then one of the leaders said she was thankful for freedom. And we all just looked a bit blank, like, what are you talking about? And she said, "Well, I'm thankful that I'm free, that we are allowed to do this, and we're allowed to make as much noise as we want in the church. If anybody hears the music, the worst that could happen is they would think we're crazy. And that would be the worst thing that could potentially happen. But there are some people in the world who, if they were to worship in a church and they were to hear the music, then somebody would like break into the church and attack them, really." And that was the first time I sort of heard that this was happening, but I didn't really think anything of it. I sort of just went back home and continued to live my life. But around like 6 months to a year ago, I think it was, we were talking about it in youth, and Joe lent me a book called God Smuggler, and it's about Brother Andrew smuggling in the anti-smuggles a million Bibles into communist China. And that really interested me because it was like, wow, this is the extent, because he was breaking the law by a lot. Not breaking the law by shoplifting. Breaking the law as in smuggling 1 million illegal books into a country. So that really inspired me to, like, I want to go all out. And then I went to read The Insanity of God, which is another book about persecuted Christians. And that really showed me the extent of the persecution. It's not just going to prison. People are being tortured. People are being beaten. And sometimes, in some situations, killed just because of their faith. And after reading these books, I felt very, very passionate. So I went on Google. And I found the Open Doors website. And Open Doors are a charity. They help persecuted Christians. They do things like supplying Bibles to people who wouldn't otherwise be able to get them because they're not allowed in the shops and stuff. And they train church leaders and also provide practical support so they can educate children, because in a lot of countries, Christian children aren't allowed to go to school. And they can also provide medical support and emergency relief in emergencies. So basically, they support Christians who are suffering for their faith. In the UK and Ireland, Open Doors, they also raise awareness and encourage people to pray and support Christians in over 50 countries. Every year, can I have the next slide, please? Every year, Open Doors publish the World Watch List. So over there is the World Watch List, and the dark red colours are the places where, dark red countries, I mean, are the places where people are suffering the most persecution. Then it's orange, which it's high persecution, and the greeny, yellowy colour, which is moderate persecution, but still a lot compared to countries like the UK and America. The top three countries on the world list are Afghanistan, Somalia, and North Korea. In Afghanistan, it's actually illegal to be anything other than Muslim, as it's a tribal society, and leaving Islam is seen as betrayal of the tribe. Sometimes Christians will be sent to a mental hospital, as people think that they're insane, and also families believe that no sane person would leave Islam. Baptism is a crime punishable by death, and several believers were killed in 2016 when their faith was discovered. Open Doors have actually said only God knows how many secret believers there are in Afghanistan, as they have to hide it so much. In Somalia, if you're a Christian, you could be murdered on the spot. At least 12 Christians were killed when their faith was discovered. And the terrorist group Al-Shabaab, I think I've said that right, has stated publicly that it wants Somalia free of all Christians and that they are able to persecute Christians, as Somalia is basically lawless. Somalia is also another country where it's a tribal society, so leaving Islam is seen as betrayal of the tribe. The country that suffers the most is North Korea. Don't know if you can read the numbers, but it's number one. The family that have ruled North Korea for three generations, they are worshipped like gods, and any suggestion that there's a higher authority than their leaders is immediately crushed. Tens of thousands of Christians are incarcerated in labor camps, and thousands more have to keep their faith in Jesus a complete secret. Often their own family members don't even know their faith. So having your family not even know that you're a Christian must be so, so hard, and as you want to evangelize, but it could put you in prison. After going on the Open Doors website, I found a load of testimonies, so I thought I'd share a couple. So the first one that I saw was about a girl called Hadija. I hope I've said that right. I really hope I've said that right. She was born in a Muslim, and she's 12. She was born in a Muslim family, but when she was 5 years old, she met a priest and she began attending church in secret. After some time, her father found out, and every time she attended church, she would be beaten as a punishment. When she was age 7, her mum died. She moved her father to a town in western Uganda, but where they lived with his newest wife. Again, she searched for a church to secretly attend, but her father discovered her. He recommenced to severe punishments. Every time she attended church, she was brutally beaten with a cane and food was withheld. If we have the next slide, that's a picture of her and a woman. Eventually, the abuse became so severe that she had to flee. A Christian woman at church, so the woman there, is in the process of legally adopting her and has taken her in, as her father has disowned her. When I remember how he mistreated me, I still feel bad, she says. But when I tell Jesus about all the pain in my heart, I start to feel better. Please pray that he would stop drinking alcohol and remember that I am his daughter. This story really shook something, because my first thought was that a child like younger than I am, and I'm still quite young in the scheme of things, it has already gone through all of that. And a lot of the time it's so easy to dwell like, oh my goodness, my life is so horrible. My mum's not letting me go out to this new party. My dad's not letting me buy this pair of boots that I really, really want. And a lot of time it's easy to dwell on those tiny little things. But when I read this, I was sort of like snapped back into reality. Like, this has happened like since the age of 5 to 12. So that's 7 years that she's had to go through all that. And it was like just somebody was like pushing me back into reality. Like, it's not that bad. Another story that I'm going to share is one from, I'm not sure how to pronounce this again, Eritrea. I think that's right. Eritrea. And it's also been ranked as one of the worst countries in the world for Christians to practice their faith, leading it to be dubbed the North Korea of Africa. Many Christians cannot worship in public as they are arrested, beaten, tortured, and forced into labor camps because of their faith. So one woman said, I can't mention her name, it wasn't on the website. All of these stories had come from the Open Doors website because of security reasons. But she was raised in a devout Christian family. While she was in college 9 years ago, a large group of students refused to participate in an Independence Day celebration. The government officers began harassing the people who had confessed to being evangelicals and tried to force them to abandon their faith. After trying unsuccessfully, the people were taken to prison. The room in which they were held was far too small to accommodate all 56 females. They were so tightly crammed that they couldn't sit properly, let alone lie down to sleep. Family members who frequently visited cried and begged them to abandon their faith. Those who did not give in were put under heavy pressure to sign a letter that said that they were going to deny their faith. And those who refused to do that and continued to worship and praise him, they were forced to work long hours without rest. Her immediate commander was especially cruel, but she was encouraged after a dream she had in which she saw herself fighting and defeating a very strong man. She wondered how she managed to defeat him. A few days later, the persecution started again. She was accused of refusing to stop preaching, and as punishment, she was thrown into a cell full of men. She cried out to God to intervene. Soon after, they were ordered to pack their belongings and walk more than 35 miles to a military camp. God helped them, and they completed the journey without pain or weakness. There, they were assigned various duties such as washing clothes and serving coffee. They remained there for a number of years before being asked to sign the letter. They declined, saying that it was a sin. After serving another 3 years, they were finally released. She says, although we spent 6 years and 4 months in prison, may the name of the Lord be glorified. So that story also shook a lot in me, because after all that, she was still saying, may God be glorified. And if it was me, I don't know what I would have done. I've never been in that situation before, but a lot of me would be given that letter that said, I'm not a Christian, let me go. And a lot of me would have just picked up the pen, signed it, and walked out, even though it would be so hard. But denying that, like declining that for 6 years and 4 months, and going through all that hardship, and still saying, may the name of the Lord be glorified, is an amazing thing to do. So when I first heard these things, can I have the next slide, please? When I first heard these things, my immediate thought was, what can I do? So the first thing that you can do is donate. So every £21 could produce a rapid response team of volunteers for a month, as they give food, medical care, and legal assistance, as well as comfort and support. So you can do that via the Open Doors website if you just go on and then click on donate. Another thing that you can do is you can get involved with fundraisers. So every year in November, I'm planning on getting involved in this one myself, is they hold the youth community, do this thing called blackout, which is basically when you don't use your phone for 3 days. Being a 15-year-old, it's going to be very hard. So And that's another thing. Do things that are within your reach. Personally, I don't have a job, so I can't, and I'm still in school, so I can't join a voluntary team that volunteers all the time. I can't give like a lot of money a month because I don't have a job and I'm not in a situation to do that. But I can get involved with the little things. I can not use my phone for 3 days. And yeah, just stuff like that. Another thing that you can do to help is educate other people. So it's sort of like nobody can do anything if nobody knows. Like, if there was somebody trapped in a room over there, but nobody knew, nobody could come to help them. It's a bit like that. So educate other people, share stuff on social media. I'm a massive social media user, being a 15-year-old. So share stuff, share things, share. If you're more of a face-to-face, slip it into everyday conversation. And on that note, like, educate yourself. Educate yourself. Go and read things. Read these books that I recommend, The Heavenly Man, God Smuggler, and The Insanity of God. If you educate yourself, then you know more and more and more what you can do to help, and you know more and more and more the extent and where you can help. As I was saying, I don't have a job. I can't commit to regular donation, but I can just put a post on Instagram. And the last one is, pray. The number one thing that persecuted Christians ask you to do when companies ask, what can we do to help? The first thing that most people say is pray for us. And on that note, I'm going to hand over to Grace.
We're now going to bring our celebration to an end. I hope that we could have taught you something or let you know something you didn't know and you've enjoyed it. So we're going to spend some time in prayer for the persecuted church. In the UK, we're blessed to be allowed to freely pray and worship together, much like we've done this morning already. And so praying together now feels like the perfect way to end our celebration. There are many different ways we can do this, and Open Doors, who we've mentioned already, often a very useful prayer aid. They have an app called PrayerMate, which you can download to your phone, which will prompt you with prayer ideas and points as situations in the world develop. Brother Andrew, who is the missionary who helped find Open Doors, said, "If we want to leave an indelible mark on the world, there is no more powerful way to do it than by joining in God's purposes through prayer. Our prayers can go where we cannot. While many things may seem impossible from a human standpoint, in the realm of prayer, there are no impossibilities." So let's bow our heads and stand with our brothers and sisters in Christ who are being persecuted for their faith. God, we thank you that here in the UK we can meet together freely as part of Mariners Church. But this morning we think of those who cannot meet together in such a way. Those who meet in underground or secret churches, or those who cannot meet other Christians at all for the fear of arrest or violence. Would you give them strength, be their rock, and help them to rely on you every day, even when they think they can't continue any longer? We pray all our persecuted believers would have access to a Bible, and ask that your word would give them the foundation they need to remain in their homeland and see it transformed by your love and grace. We pray for believers who have been rejected by family and friends because of you. Would they know you as a loving Father, Savior, and a friend who will never leave them or forsake them, no matter what they do? Would you surround them with a new Christian family who loves them and supports them emotionally and physically? We pray for those who are imprisoned or facing prison for following you. Be their comforter in situations where there is only difficulty and pain. And we pray for those who are persecuting Christians. Change their hearts and their outlook, just like you said with Saul on the road to Damascus. You can do the impossible, and we ask that you do it again with those making life impossible for Christians across the world, even here in the UK. You are a good, just, loving God, and we trust you with our world. Have your way here on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. If you could stand for the final song.